Welcome to Families for Life with Brian and Brian, a podcast of Oak Hill Baptist Church.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about overcoming digital addictions.
Hey, Brian, how's it going, man?
Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, welcome back. I'm excited to be here today and sit down and record this podcast, even though, you know, last week was a pretty heavy topic. And this one is as well. This one is not, we don't need a warning on this one this week. But, you know, talking about addictions and things is a pretty heavy subject.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm sure as a listener, you could be hearing this and you might feel a little, you know, just kind of heavy hearing this, but please know that, you know, we're not trying to, you know, lay weights on anybody. Really, we're talking about this so that we can see if we have a problem or people we know have a problem, and then find ways to lift that off of our shoulders.
That's right. I hope people stick with us. I know some of these subjects can get, like we're talking about, they can get weighty, and then it can be somewhat discouraging to people. A lot of that can be conviction. We're in the same boat. We are assessing our own digital, footprint as we walk through this as well.
This has been really good for me because I can't help but pay attention to what I'm doing on my phone or on my computer now that I'm, you know, because we're just dealing with this all the time. So
that's exactly right. I'm examining. And at some points, Brian, I'll be honest, I'm reading this and I'm thinking, I don't like what I'm reading. Mm-hmm. And most of the time that's because it's convicting to me in my personal life. And anytime I get defensive about something, it's like, maybe this is something that the Lord is trying to speak into my life. Yeah.
Well, I think that's why it's so good we're going to be talking about this. Cause as you and I were just talking and how you said that, you know, sometimes we're addicted to this kind of stuff.
That's right.
And we don't even know it.
Yeah. I was telling Brian, the internet went out the other night at my house and we're like, what are we going to do? We're like looking at each other like, what do we do now? We felt like we were in the olden times, you know?
Get the candles out, kids. Yeah. We're going to read a book.
It's like how much of our life, because, well, now to be honest, we don't have cable television. It's all digital television. You know, what you watch on the internet with the smart TV and stuff like that. And so we literally it was kind of one of those sobering moments, like
we are dependent on this.
How plugged in we truly are. And we really don't think about it.
Yep. No, I'm the same way. That's exactly how we are at our house. And when the internet goes out, it's like, we can't do anything electronically. We've got to do real things. and so It's just good to be aware of this.
Right.
It's not to say it's bad to have internet. We're not saying that at all. It's just we got to be aware of it and how much we are dependent on it. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And it's really important because internet addiction disorder is considered by the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorder to be a true disorder. So this isn't just something that like people talk about and it's like a random thing that people just mention. It's a real certified disorder.
Yes.
And so it's a real thing.
Well, and I think the resource talked about, you know, a lot of times we think about addictions, we want to think about chemical dependencies and things like that. But there are other things, because anytime you're taking behavior, you're linking it with your the brain chemistry, the hormones, and all of those types of things. Those things can become addictive, not just substances that we are dependent upon, but like, for instance, an easy one, gambling.
Right.
You know, gambling addicts have been proven and shown that's a real addiction. And so there's a lot of science to show that digital dependency, digital addiction is a real thing.
That's exactly right. And so we think that sometimes we think addiction is only about things that we put into our bodies, but sometimes it actually has to do with things we do, our behaviors that our bodies then, through those behaviors, our bodies are producing, you know, chemicals. So it's both behavioral, it's a process, and our body's natural, like, chemistry, mm-hmm. like adrenaline, you know, yeah. adrenaline junkies, mm-hmm. you know, they can get addicted to that. And it's the thrill of the thing that they're doing, plus the actual chemicals in their body
right.
that are being produced mm-hmm. naturally.
Yeah. I really like this quote here. It says a person is vulnerable to addiction when that person feels a lack of satisfaction in life, an absence of intimacy or strong connection to other people, and a lack of self-confidence or compelling interest or loss of hope. A lot of personal
yeah.
things like going on inside of us fuel addictions a lot of times.
Well, I think that's important to hear, because if you're listening to this or whatever, and you recognize one of those things as being a reality for you, that means, like, be careful, because mm-hmm. you might actually be, you know, more prone to accidentally falling right. into some kind of addiction.
Right. Well, and a lot of times we talk about addictions in the sense of excess. Like mm-hmm. you think about someone who's addicted to alcohol, and we're thinking about a fall down drunk person.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that are functioning right. alcoholics.
Yeah.
You know, you think about someone who's addicted to material possessions, and you look at the extreme of like a hoarder.
Right.
And their house is caving in because they have so much stuff. But there can be people that have buying or shopping addictions, and it's not that they're hoarding, it's not their house looks like
more
that.
Normal,
yeah,
but it's still controlling.
So, we don't want to fool ourselves and think that addiction only displays itself in excessive ways, yeah,
it's normally not very obvious,
right?
And that's why these things, what we're talking about, is really helpful, because you can't always tell.
Well, and the digital world is built into the fabric of life now,
absolutely,
and so it can sneak up on us to where we really don't even know that we're addicted,
yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the components of this. What makes up an addiction? Kind of what to look for. You know, one of the first ones that they say, and this is a little more obvious, but it's just excessive use. But the thing to recognize is not so much that you use technology a lot. Mm-hmm. It's that you are losing sense of time, and you start neglecting other drives and other responsibilities.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because of your excessive use.
Yeah, you can also see withdrawal symptoms. When the item is taken away, people feel angry, they feel depressed, there's tension, mm-hmm. Just those kind of withdrawal symptoms when they're away from the use of internet.
Yeah. Another one is tolerance. And this isn't tolerance like I tolerate it. It's tolerance like you're becoming dependent on it. You need more of mm-hmm. it. So people right. constantly needing an upgrade. And that's why, you know, phones can tweak like one feature and then say it's the new whatever, and right. everyone wants it because we need an upgrade, or we need more time. We need more and better apps. We're constantly needing that.
What also negative repercussions, how our actions are playing out and affecting those around us, arguments, lying, maybe poor achievement with a job or school, social isolation, fatigue, yeah. maybe even family abuse. I mean, yeah. lots of those things can play out when we're addicted.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so these are the things, if you hear any of this, and you're like, oh, wow, I see that in myself, or I've seen that in my kids. Doesn't mean like, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, I'm definitely addicted. But yeah. it's definitely something that you need to investigate.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's real world consequences. I mean, you know, we have a list here. The first one is relationships are neglected. And I'll be honest, when, like I said, the digital world can kind of sneak up on us to where we don't even realize that our marriages are being affected, our mm-hmm. relationships with our kids. You know, we're so focused on, you know, whether it's social media, whether it's watching TV, whether it's video gaming. We don't even realize, like, you know, have you ever been sitting in the same room with your spouse or with your children, and everyone's on a device and you're not even talking for,
yeah.
you know, 20, 30, an hour longer. Yeah. And it's like, what are we doing? We're yeah. all here together, but we're really not spending time together.
Absolutely. And it's really, I mean, once you recognize that, it can be heartbreaking, because you realize like, mm-hmm. what you're missing.
Right.
And so what we need to do is not dwell on what we've missed, mm-hmm. but focus on what we still have to experience.
That's right.
And so, you know, we just recognize, and I was even doing that this morning. I was sitting there on my phone and I was mm-hmm. looking through Twitter because I wanted to find out some info about recent events. Mm-hmm. And my son's sitting there eating breakfast and he's just talking and jabbering and I'm just ignoring him. And as soon as I it just dawned on me what mm-hmm. I was doing, and I'm getting ready to do this podcast, you know.
Right.
And I just put my phone away and I just went over and sat next to him and just kind of messed with, you know, hung out with him. And so I could, you know, we don't want to get depressed about this. Mm-hmm. We just need to
get better about it.
And just get better. That's yeah. right. And just get better.
Well, I mean,
about
with
it.
Our especially with our children, our time is limited as with them being children.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to feel like that weight all the time. Like I don't want to be like, we got to do every moment of every day. Right. It's got to be something.
Yeah.
But I also want to recognize that time is fleeting
mm-hmm.
and it will be gone. You know, I have a 14-year-old mm-hmm. right now and that time will be gone before we know it.
Yeah.
And so we have to take those moments to really invest and make the most of that time.
Yeah. We just got to be intentional. It's not, you know, we're not on one extreme and we're, you know, every moment has to be a meaningful thing, but we're not on the other extreme where we're just like, you know, nothing matters and we don't have to be intentional at all. We just need to be intentional and let the Lord, you know, grow our families and our love for one another through those times.
Right.
So, yeah, so we have to understand relationships can be affected negatively. Another really serious one is that you can lose your job or kids can have school issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really distracts from work. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to businesses and just seen people on their phones. Mm. Even like really prominent professionals are just completely distracted, like doctors and things. And I'm not hating on doctors. Please hear me. I just, you know, recently had a kid and I just, you know, you just everywhere you go, it's everywhere, you know, from the hospital to the grocery store to the fast food restaurant. People are on their phones.
Well, they just made it illegal in Indiana to have your phone in your hand while you're driving.
Yeah.
That to me seems like not a necessary law. That should be common sense,
right?
But yeah. We have to make it a law, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
well, and how does that work? You know, it's like, can I have my phone? I'm putting it on my, you know, dash holder.
Right.
Know, am I going to get pulled over right. anyways? But yeah, I mean, it's a thing for all of us everywhere, right. But you can get fired for not doing your job because you're on your phone all the time.
A really common consequence is loss of sleep. You know, like you're saying, if you're on your phone and you're just laying in bed and you're like, okay, I'm just trying to get sleepy. It's almost bedtime. You can look at social media or watch videos on YouTube or fall down a Wikipedia rabbit mm-hmm. hole and 30 minutes have gone by, an hour's gone by, and where you could have been getting good sleep because the other end, the alarm is going to be there.
Right.
Whatever time you go to bed, the alarm's going to be there when you wake up.
We it's so funny because, you know, when the alarm goes off and you snooze it and you're like, oh, I'm going to get 5 extra minutes. And it's like, but you just wasted 30 to 45 right. or, you know, last night.
Right.
And I didn't even think about how silly that is until right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Well, and with that, you know, is, well, one of the things about that too is that like, loss of sleep it's linked to obesity, type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. So it's not just you're tired, it's like you're unhealthy.
Right.
But then you are diminished in your energy, both physically because mm-hmm. of that, but also mentally because you're constantly just involved. Your mind is constantly going in the digital world.
It's a bad cycle because it leads to all kinds of mental problems, depression, and other things like that. And you can't get out of that because you just don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And so these become vicious cycles in our lives.
You're hooked. Yeah.
It also gives us health problems, eye strain. Some people are facing carpal tunnel, headaches, backaches, obesity, just real basic sort of things from inactivity.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, if you aren't used to feeling that way, people have headaches and it's like crippling, you mm-hmm. know? And so it can be serious, but then there's other, this can lead to other addictions. That was one of the things I thought was, I didn't think about how quickly the internet can lead you to become addicted to other things like gambling and gaming and pornography and even access, like physical access to drugs and alcohol because of the connections you're making and how you can, you all of a sudden know people who have these things and you can get it.
Wow. So. That's crazy. Yeah. And you know, they all, there's a reality for really all addictions. This kind of is a broad stroke thing. And I think it's important that we recognize this, but it can remove our true feelings to give us an unreal escape. I mean, that's kind of the point of it.
Right.
But it will take you further than you really want to go.
You're living a double life sometimes.
Right, right.
Yeah. I mean, in the book, they were even talking about how there was a program called, I think it was called Second Life.
Oh, Second Life, yeah.
Where people could actually invent a second life. And they
the reality-based sim program. Yeah.
And it wasn't like, you know, Minecraft where you're just having fun. It's like, no. This is my other life.
The point is to connect and have social with other people online. So in some respects,
it's necessarily bad.
Good, but if that takes the place of your first life, it's not good.
That's exactly what we're trying to say. Yeah, that's good. It can take control of the addict beyond logic and reason. Mm. And that's kind of the point that we were just making is that, you know, when you're addicted, it takes control of your life to the place where you can't even think straight about it.
Yeah. And it takes the pleasure system of the brain captive. So the addiction gives pleasure. We talked about this in our episode on brain science and, you know, it really hits on some of these hormones and we really get addicted to those feelings in our body. And so we want to receive that more and greater. And but this is where, this is why addiction takes you further than you want to go is because it builds up in your, you know, you need more and more and more to experience those feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is it makes it to where you can't enjoy other pleasures.
Right.
Because of the fact that that's the one that you need the most.
Right. Yeah. And I've seen this play out even in my own life. It's like, you know, I want to be a good avid reader, but it's like reading does not give you the same joy and pleasure as binge watching a show on Netflix.
Right.
You know, and it's like we've got to get to the place to where we're not dependent upon that quick, easy entertainment rather than something that's a little bit more difficult to do, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is it ends up taking priority over all other life issues. Any addiction takes over the priority of your life so that's all that you're thinking about. You're not thinking about anything else really. And even when you are, it's just, how do I get through this so that I can go do that? The thing that I really want to do. So,
yeah. And then, you know, addicts will deny their addiction is out of control, you know, see it as somehow manageable, something like that. And then all addicts to a degree are a type of substance addiction because the body gets hooked on the chemicals. It really can change our behavior. Mm-hmm. It can turn you into somebody that you don't want to be.
Yeah. Well, and so here's the question though, like those are kind of the things that we're looking for, the consequences and all the realities behind addictions. But why do we get addicted to the internet, to social media and texting and all that other stuff? What is it about that actually gets us hooked? And I think, you know, one of the biggest reasons why is kind of like what we've been saying is it's integrated in every aspect of life. It's immediately accessible. One of the things the resource was saying is that, you know, a bungee jumping addict is going to find it a lot harder to gratify that addiction because they got to drive somewhere tall to go do that. Whereas an internet addict is, it's right here, right now. I don't have to do anything.
Right. And more services, more and more things. I mean, everything now is accessible. I mean, literally, we live in an agoraphobic paradise right now because you don't have to leave your house for anything.
Yeah.
Groceries, food, packages, everything is delivered right to our doorstep. And so we're getting very dangerously close to not being, you know, having to to leave to do things. And I know we had the whole quarantine and all that stuff that happened earlier. And so some of that's been heightened by that.
Of course.
You know, it really makes me think, this is going to be a dumb analogy, but if you've seen the movie WALL-E,
oh yeah,
and the people on the cruise ship,
oh yeah,
don't do anything. They sit, they have their TV in front. And it's becoming more, you know, when I first saw that a few years ago when WALL-E came out, I was like, yeah, that's some people's reality. Mm-hmm. But man, the more we go along, the closer we get to that reality. And I'm like, man, that might have been some, there might be some real truth to that. Yeah. You know, us just sitting in front of screens, getting fed whatever junk food and all this stuff and not really taking life.
Yeah.
Like not really experiencing life,
right,
you know?
Right. Well, I mean, even now we've got like people are Uber eating McDonald's, you know?
Yeah.
Like McDonald's is so easy, but yeah, we got to have somebody bring it to us.
Right.
And I'm not hating on that by any means. I mean, right, I order pizza.
Sure, of course.
But it's how, to what level are, kind of like you're saying, like to what level are we dependent on this?
Right.
It's so easy. It's really easy to get dependent on it.
Yeah.
Another thing about this though, is that there's this thing called operant conditioning. Our resource was talking about that. And the idea behind this is that, you know, not every text and direct message or post is exciting. Mm. And that's part of what makes this addicting, is that it's not every single thing that's exciting. It's only some things. And so you got to keep texting. You got to keep scrolling. You got to keep looking for that exciting or funny or whatever post. Mm-hmm. It's like gambling. Mm. That's how gambling works, is you're not going to win every time. They're going to make sure you're not going to win every time, but they're also going to make sure that you win sometimes, mm-hmm, because they want you to know that it's possible so that you keep doing it.
Right.
And there's something about that that just hooks us in. We just want more.
Yeah. Facebook is becoming really proficient in this because they're crafting and creating an algorithm that will keep you scrolling as long as possible.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix, they're creating suggestions and they're actually tailor making content for people to keep them hooked watching all the time.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. And you know, I wrestle with this because in one sense it's like, I get that. They're a business. They're trying to do that. So in one sense it's like, that makes sense. But you know, we all have to just help each other out and make sure that this is on the forefront of our minds.
Well, it's personal responsibility, right? Just because it really is. Just because I can do something doesn't mean I should do something.
Right, right. And that's part of the reason why we're even doing like this topic on this podcast, is because you know, we want us all, I want personally to take responsibility for my life, because that's God's call in my life, that mm-hmm, I would be a good steward of everything that he's given me,
mm-hmm,
that is all really his, and do it all for the glory of God. But if we aren't keeping that at the forefront of our mind, then we will easily let this take over our life.
That's right. Yeah. So how do we know if we are addicted?
Man, that's the question, right? And that's what we really want to hit at. The first thing you can do, they said in our resource, you can go online, mm-hmm, and take a online test to see if you're addicted to being online, which is kind of ironic and funny. But
yeah, I started down a couple questions, then I just quit because I didn't want to know the answer.
Like, no, I'm done. Kept answering wrong. You're like, I don't want to know. But there are tests out there that you can take that are really helpful. Simple questions that are just like, yep, I never have answered, mm-hmm, this question before.
Yeah.
And you're right. It is a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of intimidating.
Yeah. Well, and part of it is just trying to get outside of your own head. Like think about your actions, think about what you're doing, your time usage, you know, and just start to observe yourself.
Yeah.
What are your tendencies, you know? And you can kind of see that play out if that's a problem in your life. But you can ask your family and friends, people you trust, to see if they've noticed, you know, am I spending too much time in the digital world?
And that's what we always do. You know, have you ever taken one of those personality tests? And, mm-hmm, you know, it's like, do you enjoy this or do you enjoy that? And you're like, I don't know. And you ask your friend or family, and they help you with that. Mm-hmm. Same sort of thing. But there's also symptoms that we can look for. One of the things is a heightened sense of euphoria, mm-hmm, while you're using it. Like you get this you just feel this pleasure mm-hmm. from being on the internet or on your cell phone,
mm-hmm.
Something to pay attention to.
Yeah. If there's a general neglect of family and friends, you can see that, you know, and it becomes apparent there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. If you've tried to cut back several times in the past and it just hasn't worked, you know, it's like you delete Facebook or something, and then the next day you're like, oh, well, I got to do this, you know, and so you just immediately go back to it. Maybe you suffer from sleep deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
Paying attention to this stuff will be really helpful to know if you are addicted.
Yeah, you can look for physical changes, headaches, weight gain or loss. You know, those types of things that we talked about earlier
mm-hmm.
Can be a real sign.
Yeah, I think withdrawal from real life activities is actually a big one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who, it's not to say that you have to love like being outside or mm-hmm. doing things like that, but it's if you are withdrawing from that, you're purposefully neglecting those things. Mm-hmm. You just don't do them ever. That's something that you really need to start paying attention to and saying. Well,
I think, you know, we talk about this a lot. Life is about balance, you know.
Exactly.
This digital world is not bad, but if it is all consuming and controlling, it is bad.
Exactly.
You can be addicted to many things. You can be addicted to working out. You can be addicted to all kinds of things. Good things. We need balance in our lives. And exactly. So listen, I'm not saying that you got, like you're saying, you don't have to be a lover of the great outdoors. You don't have to be an outdoorsy person, but you do have to engage in life.
Exactly.
Yes. We do have to have some close personal relationships that we're seeing people in person. Mm-hmm. We do need to, you know, work and live and care for our families. And, you know, there has to be some balance here.
Mm-hmm.
And so really what we're talking about, what we're advocating is to restore some of that balance. There has to be moments where we're silent and alone. There has to be times where we spend time with the Lord, and it's not just all about noise and the next show or the next scroll. You know, there's got to be some balance there, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly the thing about this. I think, you know, we've talked about that. And so that's the point. And we hope all of you, our listeners, are getting that we're not hating on technology, and we're not, you know, advocating just, you know, going out in the woods and building a cabin or something. Like, we're just talking about balancing our lives. We don't want to be
monks, I mean, that they did not have balance, you know.
Exactly.
The monks that went out and lived in the mm-hmm. wilderness, they were hermits. That's not balance.
Right. That's not what Christ has really called us to. And so, but he has called us to glorify him with all of our lives. And you can't do that when it's so unbalanced and taken over by something.
That's right.
And but the thing about this is sometimes we can't even see the imbalance.
Right.
And that's why we're dealing with this specific episode, because as you and I have been just talking personally, like, I don't even see it in my own life.
Right. There's definitely things that the Lord has helped me to identify that I need to examine and think about and change in my own life. You know, maybe not a full on like addiction, but certainly like some imbalances that I need to focus on.
Right. And so, and if we're not careful, those small imbalances can go somewhere bigger, but that's why we got to catch it while it's small.
So
that's the thing, is like, what do we do once we've recognized some of this stuff? What do we do when we recognize it? How do we deal with a digital addiction?
Yeah, so let's talk about ourselves first. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing we need to do is make it a matter of prayer.
Yeah.
Brian, I believe that anything that you recognize in your life that you know needs to change, we got to go to the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Lord cares about these things in our lives, mm-hmm. in our heart, you know? The Bible tells us, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. And so we've got to say, okay, let's make this a matter of prayer and say, God, I need help in this area. Help me to have the strength and the fortitude to overcome this addiction in my life.
I totally agree. Yeah, that's what you just said. I just looked it up. It's 1 Peter 5:7. Mm-hmm. You know, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for
you. That's right. What a great encouragement.
And that is, man, I need that like so many times every day. I don't need it just every day. I need it so many times during the day. Just to, like you said, to just talk to God about our problem. You know, how many times do we talk to other people or complain about other people, or we'll say to people, how you doing? And they say, well, I can't complain. It's like, yeah, but don't you want to talk to somebody about what's going on? Well, God is there and he wants us to talk to him about what's going on. So we got to make it a matter of prayer. And then the next thing we need to do is we need to get somebody else involved in our life.
Yeah, we need accountability. This is really big. The Christian life is really predicated on us living life together. And part of that is accountability. And so if we have to really humble ourselves say, okay, I need other believers to help me and encourage me in this way. So find an accountability partner. And this works for a whole host of things. Anything in your life that you're struggling with, if you have a regular friend, person you meet with, you know, talk about it, pray about it, find scripture, find Christian resources to read about it, and have that person ask you the tough questions.
Yeah. Well, you know? And what's funny about this is you don't even have to be like struggling with any, you know, some people might be listening and they're like, well, I don't find myself being addicted to anything. Like things seem to be pretty good. Well, accountability isn't only for when things are going bad.
Right.
You know, accountability is also for keeping things good and making things even better than you thought they could be.
Yeah. But it's got to be somebody that's willing to ask you the tough questions.
That's right.
You know, hey, what was the time you spent, like if it's digital addictions, what was the time you spent on social media this week?
Yeah.
How many hours a day? You know, something like that. I mean, they've got to ask you the really tough questions and you have to answer honestly.
Yep. Yeah. It's got to be
for it to work.
Open. That's right. So, and with that, so, I mean, accountability will probably get this done, but you know, finding out which apps you need to limit and then getting help to do that.
Yeah.
Accountability will help with that. But you can easily just go on your phone and see how you're spending your time.
Yeah. Most phones now have tracking in them to tell you how much time you're spending on each app.
Which I really appreciate. And that's what I mean is like, I get that they, you know, they're trying to make a device that people want to use, but I appreciate that they're also like, hey, we don't want you to like ruin your life with this either.
Right.
You know,
but you have to be willing to look at it, Brian. Cause listen, ignorance is bliss.
That is true.
And if we don't know, if we don't look, then we don't have a problem.
Knowing is half the battle.
Right.
Right.
So we've got to look. And then you've got to kind of structure and plan. Okay. So it's like, maybe you say, the first thing I do in the morning, I'm going to not pick up my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to get up, get my coffee. Maybe I'm going to have a little Bible study or something, get ready for work. And I'm not even going to look at my phone till I get to the office or something like that. You know, when you're at home and you're, you know, preparing to go to bed and you're just hanging out, maybe you're watching some TV, watching a ball game with your wife or your spouse, whatever you do in the evenings, I'm not going to pick up my phone. I'm going to put it in the other room, or I'm going to, you know, put it on the charger away. So that way I'm not even tempted to look at it. You know, it's like with my kids, they have a certain on their tablets, it's scheduled. They get a certain amount of time every day. It turns on at a certain time, turns off at a certain time. And I'm not saying we have to go to that extreme. Maybe we do, but in our minds, we need to think, when is it okay for me to look at this and check this? And when is it not? And we need to really get away from having this feeling to be on all of the time.
We need to be in control of it for the glory of the Lord instead of it being in control of us for our own pleasure.
That's right.
And that's the thing. And so I totally agree. And one of the things me and my wife try to do, and that's the thing, is at the end of the day, like, you're not going to do this perfectly.
Right.
Nobody's saying that. But if you don't have a plan, then it's not going to happen. So we try to have all those things set up, but we'll even our weekdays, like our weeknights, we'll say, okay, well, this weeknight, we're not gonna, you know, watch TV or be on our phones. We're gonna just read, or we're gonna play game, you know, like board games and things like that together, or go on a walk, you know.
Yep.
So you just come up with different things to do so that you don't just default to the easiest thing.
Yeah. I'm reminded of this verse. We actually mentioned it last week, but I wanted to read it. It's 1 Corinthians 6:12. It says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial.
Yes.
I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything.
That's good.
I mean, we have the right to do all of this digital media stuff, but we have to ask the question, is it always beneficial?
Right.
And is it mastering us?
Yes. That's exactly what we've got to, that's exactly what we've got to ask. And so if we're making a plan, you keep a log to kind of track the actual time you're spending so that you know for real. It's kind of like, you know, dieting. Sometimes you don't have to diet. You just have to take, you have to take inventory of what you're actually
eating. Right. You don't know what you're eating until you keep a diary of how many calories.
And then it surprises you. You're like, oh my goodness. Yeah. And so we've got to do that. And then finally, like, well, I guess not finally, but we deleting those things that we just can't say no to.
Right.
Just get it, you know, cut, like Jesus says, you know, pluck the eye out that causes you to sin. Mm-hmm. And that looks like deleting apps on your phone.
Right. Find some non-internet hobbies and activities. Yeah. You know, find something that really sparks your interest and that has nothing to do with online. And that will help you maybe even reconnect with your family and friends.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But then there's this other side we don't want to neglect. If we see somebody, especially parents, if you have a kid who is you've heard some of these things or you've been noticing it yourself, this just tendency to be constantly using their digital devices, how do you help somebody else with this? The first big thing is we have to be a good digital role model.
That's right.
You know, you can't go to somebody and be like, hey, I see a problem in your life, and they can just turn around and say, well, so do you.
Yeah. Most of the time, our children are a product of what they see in our lives. And oftentimes it's exaggerated. It's like, if you have a little bit of a problem, they're going to have a big problem.
Right.
And so we really have to think, and if you look at your kids and you say, man, they've really got a problem with digital things, and we're always looking at them, pointing the finger at them.
Right.
Maybe we need to examine our own lives.
And that's exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7:3, where he says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye?
That's right.
So that's why we started with ourselves first, and then we can help somebody else.
Right.
But there's other things that we can do.
Yeah. And if you find someone that is addicted, show them a good example, someone that handles digital, maybe it's you or someone else. Mm-hmm. And then you can invite them to be involved in your non-digital interest.
Yes.
You know, invite them to participate in things that have nothing to do with the internet so they can kind of break free. It's really funny. It's interesting when we go to a camp or a retreat and there's not, a lot of times they don't have internet or the cell service is pretty terrible. It takes a day or so, but man, the kids, it's like a weight is lifted off of them when they don't have that pressure of being online or being on social media. I just see it every time, and it always amazes me.
Yeah, it's funny because we think, you know, we're connected, and that's true, but it's also a tether, you know? And
right.
It can be detrimental to just being a kid.
Right.
And so we can do that. We can talk to them. You know, this is the one that's like, to me, it seems obvious, but it's the one I think we're least likely to do is to just straight up talk to people about our concerns.
Mm-hmm. Well, people will get defensive. And so you have to do, you know, you have to do it in love.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're not saying, you know, we're not talking about intervention. You know, you don't put up the big poster that says intervention and, you know,
you've got a problem with the internet.
I would not respond well to that. Yeah. So if you see a problem in my life, please don't do that to me. Just come talk to me in love and help me, you know, see things. And that's what we need to do with our loved ones. We just talk to them in love. Right. And hope that they receive
just
it well.
Yeah, and just support them, pray for them.
Yeah.
You know, help them, maybe help keep them accountable if they'll let you, you know, things like that. So, you know, it's interesting. There are so many just small things that we can do. You know, it's you know, when you get a ding on your phone, don't immediately, if you're talking to someone face to face, don't immediately pick up your phone. That ding can wait. You know, talk to the people in front of you.
One of the things,
be present with who's there.
One of the things I noticed when the smartwatches first came is I would meet with people and I'd be hanging out or whatever, and I'd see them keep looking at their watch, and I'm like, are they
checking the time,
trying to leave?
What's going
like,
on?
And I finally realized, like, no, they're just checking notifications.
Yeah, they're getting dings
and
the whole time.
And I was like, so it made it easier for me to be okay with, but it was also just kind of like, Like, it was just so easy to look at, you know, you don't have to take anything out of your pockets on your wrist.
Right. Listen, no one is more important than the person that's in front of you at that moment.
At that time.
And so we've got to really think about that and understand that. And that's been a struggle for me. I'll be honest, you know, I want to answer every call, every text, everything, but I've had to realize, like, I've got to be present in the moments that I'm there around people, when I'm trying to minister to people, when I'm with my family.
Well, and you know, I really think for me, maybe this isn't everyone, but for me, one of the reasons why I look at every notification I get or am tempted to is almost really a fear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, what is this something that I really need to respond to?
Right.
Or is this something that, you know, that's going to be, you know, you're just almost afraid that you're going to miss something really important or even like bad. Mm-hmm. And so that might could be just a lack of trust in the Lord.
Right.
Well, I know for me personally, that's what it is.
Right.
And
if we live like that, then we're going to miss out on some of the most important things that are right in front of us.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so we can't live in fear. And we can't let, something other than the Lord be in control of our lives.
Right.
And so,
I'm going to say most of us don't have like really bad addictions to the digital world, but I will say we all have some of these tendencies in our lives. So I would challenge every listener to take a moment this week to really reflect on your own digital usage and say, where am I, falling short, and where am I kind of out of balance in my life? And here's a real test. If you want to know how badly you're addicted, get rid of your phone for a day or two and see how you feel. How you feel. Yeah.
That's really good. Well, I hope that this was a good time. I know for me, this was really helpful.
It's challenging.
It's challenging, but it's good. Mm-hmm. And so we just got to keep trusting the Lord with our lives and letting Him do good work in our lives.
That's right. So, well, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time. What did we do in the olden days before the internet?
Let me get on my banjo and sing you a song.
Gather around with the candlelight, kids. We're going to read from the Bible.
It's like, Dad, the internet went out. We could still use lights. I'm going outside. Oh, man.